Blog Talk Kingdom Radio.
Kingdom greetings and welcome to Jemiah Deliverance Ministry TDM Sunday Fellowship. We have with us Prophetess Kimberly Fry, and we're going to discuss church hurt and offense, and what do we need to do to make sure that we are healed, that we know what a church hurt is, and how do we know it's really a hurt and not God's way of getting us to the next place in Him. So we're going to talk in just a second. Let's get some worship music going on. Don't you know God is amazing? God is powerful. God is just so awesome. And there is nothing too hard for Him. Amen. So we're going to listen to just a few minutes of worship so that our mind and our heart can be in alignment.
Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prophetess Bride, can you hear me? Hallelujah. God is just so amazing. I'm still in awe of the great things that He is doing in the lives of His people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. While you're getting and meditating on the Word of God, I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 15. Matthew 18 and 15. And I'm going to read it out of the, it says, the Christian Standard Bible. So it's a little different from the King James Version. So Matthew 18 and 15. I appreciate everyone calling in and tuning in. I'm in Central Standard Time, and it showed 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I got a notification saying, you're starting in 3 minutes. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. But to God be the glory. He always prepares you and have you ready. So Matthew, the 18th chapter, starting at verse 15, and it reads, if your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he won't, and this is verse 16, listen, take one or two more with you, so that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. And we're talking about church hurt. I never minimize when people say to me, or I've been in conversations and they have stated that they have been hurt by the church and they've left the church. And I personally know several people who have left the church because of something that was said that offended them, or they perceived to have been offended. And instead of going to the individual or individuals, they choose to vacate the church. The church is a place of, I like to say it's a sanctuary where the wounded, the sick, the weariness, the worn down. It's a place where you gather to be refueled, refreshed, and restored. So when I hear the church, and I'm putting quotation marks around church, when I hear the church hurt me, is it really the church that have hurt you or the people in the church? Because remember, the church is a building. Now, if the ceiling tile falls from the ceiling and lands on you, then yes, you've been hurt in the church by the ceiling tile in the church. So you can say it is church hurt. But being serious, people, whether through word, action, or deed, have offended others. So, again, when I'm thinking about the church, I'm just thinking of a place of safety. You run to the altar when you're in distress, and we see several references in the Bible of any time they wanted to inquire of the Lord, they would go to the altar and grab hold of the altar and wait until they got a word from the Lord. So my question was, how do we get to the point where we allow the people in the church to hurt us? What happens when your peace, because remember, we're supposed to find peace and love and joy in the church with other Christians. What happens when your peace has turned into turmoil in the church, where you feel every Sunday you go, you're being tortured, whether it's someone talking whether it's someone talking about you, or whether they're preaching about you. So I'm looking at my message, and for some reason, Prophetess Fry is unable to get in. So Prophetess Fry, can you log in? Because it shows, well, you know what? Let me see if I can call you. It shows that you're not on, so I'm not too sure what's going on. What happens when you're hurt and it seems as if there is no peace? So I'm going to come from three different angles. Three different angles, yes, and I will have scriptures. Three different angles. I want to talk about it because I've been on both ends. I've experienced, I won't say church hurt, but I've experienced situations in the church where it got me to the point of I wanted to take a vacation. I had enough. I had just got saved. I think I may have been saved for maybe about 3 months, and I was excited. I was excited because I knew what it was living in darkness. And now I have this great opportunity to be with other Christians, you know, to be, okay, I am going to, can you hear me, Prophetess Fry?
Hello, how are you?
Okay, I've got you.
Amen.
A little maneuver. Praise God. So I looked at, when I got saved, at a time of I'm no longer walking in darkness. I've got these group of people they call Christians. And, you know, when I think of Christians, I think of having those Christ-like attributes. You know, you love and you hug it, and you're genuine in the things that you say and do.
And I was so excited. And then I saw some attributes that I used to do in these church folks. Oh, excuse me, let me go back. Christians. These Christians, they were moody. They didn't want to talk to me. I would say good morning, and sometimes they speak, sometimes they didn't. I've heard them talking about me, think she is wearing that outfit to church. And I thought, wait a minute, hold up. Let's put a break on this. I knew when I wasn't saved, these were the things that we were doing. And I was in a church, not saved. See, you got many people in a church, and I know we're talking about church hurt, and I'm getting there. We have many people in the church who believe they're on their way to heaven, because we used to sing that song, I'm on my way to heaven anyway, anyhow. And we know as born-again Christians that is not true. You know, you can't go to heaven any kind of way, because the Bible says that he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, and that's why daily we must confess. Daily we must do a self-examination. Daily we must, hallelujah, make ourselves a living sacrifice so that we are pleasing and acceptable in his sight. So I had enough common sense and godly wisdom to know that what I was seeing was not what should be if we call ourselves Christians. And so I took I went on vacation because I was doing vacation Bible for the church I was at. They had not had one, and I came from a church where we used to do it, and I used to be a part of it, and I said, do you mind? I went to the pastor. I said, do you mind if I do it? Because we have a lot of youth. It's something for them to do when they get out of school. And we held it from, I think it was like from 9 to probably about 2 o'clock. And we just had different activities. And when that was over, and these Christians, they were just so mean to me. I said, I'm going on vacation. So I didn't show up for 2 prayer meetings. And I wasn't just sitting back at home in a recliner eating potato chips and drinking a soda pop. I was seeking God. I was asking God first to search me. Show me. Because if I have done anything, then I ask for, one, for God to forgive me, and two, let me get it right with them. And this is what God showed me. He showed me that I didn't ask what could they do to help or what is your talent. I've got these things I need. Is there any way that you can help me? What I did, I saw a need, and I went ahead and I did it. And I came up with the games, and I came up with the different activities. And I said, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? And they were offended. And so I took ownership of what I did to create this rift that should not have been. So when I hear about church hurt, I always ask the question, did you ask God to show you? That's number one. And then number two, what is it that God is trying to get you to overcome? And number three, perhaps he's showing you what not to do. And take it as an opportunity to pray for the individual, to learn what spirit is operating in their life. Prophetess Fry, come on in. Did I lose you again? Prophetess Fry.
Oh, man, I'm trying to take notes. Amen. This is so good. This is so good because you know, it's true what you're saying. But when you're in the heat, when you're in the middle of it, you don't think about asking God to show you. You so hurt and upset by what was done to you that you want God to get him. And so you have to step back. But I was trying to, as I was taking notes and listening to you, I was trying to find the scripture, because the definition of offense is an occasion, not, I put the earlier, forgive me, occasion to fall or stumble. It's a condition of having your feelings hurt. It's something that outrages the moral or the physical senses. It's a breach of a law or a rule. It's an illegal act. So you're talking, and I'm thinking of the scripture, and I still haven't found it, but I know it's in the Gospels because Jesus said it, where he says, love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Then another scripture, it says, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So tying it in with what you're talking about, the offense, okay, the church hurt, they go together. If we look at that scripture that says to love God with your whole heart, your mind, and soul, if we love him like that, we're not going to do anything intentionally to offend him, to hurt him. And so when we receive church hurt or we give it in the church, we've committed a misdemeanor, a wrongdoing, a transgression, because we've broken the golden rule where it says, love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you're dealing with issues and you then push the issues way, way down, and then you don't realize or think about them issues until somebody hits your soft spot or your rough spot, then it just opens up a can of worms.
And I believe it is in, if I'm not mistaken, Luke.
Okay, I'm going to turn. Luke.
And I say that because that was, I talked about that last week. And of course, I have the other Bible. But you know, while we're looking for that scripture, okay, mm-hmm. Next time I will have my real, I hate to say my real Bible because they're all real, all the Bibles are real, but you know how you have one
that you perform,
over all of them. And
right.
So I love my King James Version, but then because I wanted to read Matthew 18 and 15 from another version, I brought the other Bible out,
right.
And it's like, oh my gosh, where's my real Bible?
Amen.
But the thing about, you said something that reminds me of it talks about when you say love your neighbor as you love yourself. I can see where offense could come in if you don't love yourself.
Amen.
And
amen.
Everything and everybody is at, you know, they'll always be jealous of you. They'll always be envious of you because, one, you don't love yourself and you think everybody's out to get you.
That's true. That is so true. And another definition is, it says a proceed. Now, some things, they really did happen. The hurts really happened. And then another definition of offense is a proceed. It's proceed. It may not have even been the way you saw it.
Oh, you saw right. It's Luke 10 and 27.
Amen. Okay, turn into it now. So he answered. And
go ahead.
You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your spirit and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, the young man was like trying to test the world. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And this is what I do.
Mm-hmm. And so that's just a little point that had come to me when you were sharing.
You went away. You got really, really soft when you were talking. So say that one more time. Prophetess Pride.
Hello.
Yes. Can you say it again? Because you went way away.
Okay. I apologize. I said that's the scripture that came to my mind as I was looking at the different definitions for offense. It's a transgression, not just against our brother or sister in the body of Christ, but against God's rule, where his rule is to love him, to love our neighbor, to love ourselves. But like you said, if we don't love ourselves because we're dealing with issues, we don't know how nor can we love our neighbor, our child, our brother in the Lord, our sister in the Lord, whomever.
And, you know, and I think of, because there are some hurt that are deep, and I'm not talking about people who have been physically hurt in the church from fist fights. I've attended churches where we had board meetings. It just got really crazy. You know, people pulling out guns and just really duking it out. And this is a true thing. This is not something on television. And I'm not also talking about, because those are whole nother demons, the ones who have been molested and raped by people in the church. I'm not talking about, because those are different types of hurts. I'm talking about, as you had said, a perception. You perceive something that may or may not have occurred. And that's why it's so important if we are truly his people, because 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, so it's like a question, I'm not too sure you my people or not, because you're not acting like my people, you're not looking like my people, I'm looking down and I don't see myself in you. If we follow the word of God, a lot of the issues that we have really won't be issues, because if I think you said something to me, Prophetess Fry, I'm going to ask you, Prophetess Fry, I heard you say this. Is this what you meant? Because sometimes, and I'm guilty of it. My kids, and I use my daughter, we were talking the other day, and she said to me, I don't like that hair. What do you mean you don't like that hair? What she was saying, I mean, at first I was like, what? I like it. I don't care what you say. I like it. But when I questioned her, I'm like, what do you mean? She says, Ma, it's not the color doesn't work for you. So if I got a different color, it would have worked better. So I could have taken offense, and I was like, what? My hair, my body. And I know this is like far-fetched from the church. It is, if the pastor's preaching, and the topic is something that you're dealing with from among them, you may be in a relationship that you should not be in. You should be on a job where you shouldn't be. You might be dibbling, dabbling in so many things, and God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be free so that you can spend time with him, get to know him in a intimate level, on a more deeper level, and all you hear is, I just discussed that with the pastor, and now he's preaching this about me over the pulpit. First of all, you should be praying for your pastor, praying that even before he gets up, that it's God that's speaking through him,
and not his flesh that has risen up. The pastor is human, just like you're human and I'm human. They're human as well. And we know some of the things they go through. I think of my pastor when I got saved, the church I was in when I got saved. I think of all the times she had to intercede on my behalf because I was just talking crazy. You know, God was teaching me obedience and not to be, and the opposite of obedience is rebellion, and I was the most rebellious person there was. And when God would say, I want you to go left, I go right. And, of course, there are consequences for your action. So I would go run into my pastor, you know, pastor, I just don't understand. Pray for me. Every time I turn around, I'm getting in trouble with God. And I remember God had me to go on a trip. And he says, get in your car. I need you to go find Sister So-and-so because I want you to give them a word. So I'm driving down. I'm like, God, I don't know where they live. He says, just follow me. So, of course, you know, God is going to tell me how to get there. I'm driving down the highway. He says, turn left. I turn left. I said, God, you know, I'm praying, you know, that nothing happens to her, that there's no harm, no danger. He said, turn right. I turn right. And I get to the house. Again, I didn't know where she lived, but God directed me there. I get to the house, and, of course, she wasn't there. And the Lord says, go home. So I drive all, you know, he had to tell me how to get back home because I didn't know how I got there. So I get back home, and I'm like, God, I don't know how to pray for her. You sent me there. She wasn't there. I don't understand. And I put my key on the table, and the Lord says, obedience. I said, what? He said, obedience. I said, wait a minute, let me see if I got this straight. So you knew she wasn't going to be there. You had me to burn my gas to go all the way downtown to a house that she wasn't going to be there, and you telling me obedience is better than sacrifice. And he took me to, I believe it's 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. I cannot remember the verse, which verse it starts, but it talks about a young prophet who was given instructions from God. And here comes an older prophet and tells him, you know, God said, God may have told you this, but I'm telling you, you need to do that. And he listened to the older prophet and got killed. He lost his life. And so God was saying to me, either you're going to listen to me and live, or you're going to be disobedient and rebellious and die. And I ran to my pastor, and I you know, I'm just crying out. I'm like, I don't understand why God would treat me like this. He know I have a problem with obedience, and he going to do this, and then I don't follow through, and he turns around and punish me. And my pastor laughed, and she said, be obedient. Time she had to intercede on my crazy behalf so that God would have mercy on me. So I say all that to say that sometimes we forget that they are human. Not only do they have to deal with crazy church people like me, they got their own issues, their own set of demons and devils they have to fight. So we who are rooted and grounded in the Word of God and know how to pray, we need to pray for them. So sometimes when they're given a word and it seems like they're preaching on us, take it as this: God, I hear you. God, I receive what you want to do in my life. I yield myself. We always say, we sing, I surrender all. I'm a yielded vessel for the Lord. But are you really yielded? Do you really surrender? Sometimes God will use other people to show you how you are. when all you see is your perfect self in your perfect mirror, but God sees the heart of all man, and God sees the junk that's in your heart, and you know what? He'll let somebody act like how you act, so that you can see yourself in action. You don't think your harsh tone is hurting anybody, but you don't know if that person says, if the next person say something bad to me or negative to me, then I'm going to kill myself. You don't know where people are. Every smile is not a smile that's coming from the heart. Every joy that they say, oh, I got the joy of the Lord, doesn't mean that they have the joy in their soul. That's why every day we ask God to renew our mind. We ask him to give us a clean heart. Because the Bible says that the heart is wicked, devious, all kind of stuff gets in it. And it's hard for it to get out, but it can get out with the word of God. I know I'm talking, prophetess. Go ahead, chime in.
Amen. You. I'm just sitting here listening. You're saying all of it is good, and if I may, the passion, the portion of scripture you was referring to about the old prophet and the young prophet is 1 Kings chapter 13, starting at verse 11. But I want to go back to what you said about your daughter, example you gave about you and your daughter, and she not liking your hair choice, because that goes with the scripture that you gave in Matthew 18 and 15, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It said, if your brother sins, and go and show him his fault in private. If he listens and pays attention to you, you have won back your brother. Now, the reason why I thought of that scripture is because now that I've experienced church hurt before, as I'm sure many that are listening have, and now that I have allowed the Holy Spirit, when you were speaking, yielded, now that I've allowed the Holy Spirit to talk to me, because my ears is open and I'm like, okay, God, what went wrong in that situation? Like you said, is he trying to teach you something? Is he trying to stretch you in the area, whatnot? If your daughter, just going by the scripture, if your daughter, instead of saying to you, I don't like that hair choice, she had called up another one of your children or another family member. You know, mama around here looking crazy with that hair color. And it don't look right, but she didn't say it to you. How many times has that gone on within the body of Christ or our family? The person that hurt us, we don't do what the Bible says. Go to them in private and tell them they hurt. As for me, I'm talking about me, I'll be transparent. I've always had a problem with confrontation. And so I would be genuinely hurt. Sometimes it was perceived because of other hurts, but sometimes I was genuinely hurt. But because I did not like confrontation, I'd go and I'd find someone to confide in. And then you know they went and they confided in the person that hurt me and anybody else that would listen. So guess what? Now the person that really hurt me, now they're offended. And because we don't look at it, we don't stop. We get so upset. We just get so upset. But if we, like you said, we go according to the word of God, when we've been hurt or when we think we've been hurt, stop and pray. Lord, how do I handle this situation? It's painful now, but I don't want to make it worse. I don't want to make it ugly. How do I handle it? And then ask them how to go to the one that hurt you in private. Because, see, a lot of times we don't do it in private. We go to everybody but the one that hurt us, and it's hurt upon hurt. Another passage of scripture is Luke, I believe, 17. He said, in this life many offenses will come, but woe to the one through whom it comes. I tell people I'd rather be on the receiving end of offense. And it don't feel good. I don't want to be the one to give it. And then when you read down, the disciples said, we need more faith. And you do need more faith to live in a world where any time, any moment, offense can come. You can be at church, you can be with your family, and the person that you always happy to see, they happy to see you, they smiling. Well, this particular morning, they may not greet you like they normally greet you. And then you hurt. But why they acting funny? You might not have known what took place with that person. They might have had to fight spiritual life just to walk through the doors of the house of worship. But you looking at us, they trying to act funny. They didn't speak to you. And so that's just a little bit I wanted to share.
But you know what? I wanna stay right there. So
okay.
What if I go to you and I try to get an understanding of what you're trying to say and I still feel that your intention is to hurt me? What should I do?
The Bible says if you go or when you go and they don't receive you, then you go and you get somebody else, like a mediator. Go get a third person. But I'm telling you, I'm grown in the Lord. And the best thing to do is take it to the Lord in prayer first so you can get direction and instruction and wisdom how to handle the situation. Because we can't do it in our flesh. We're going to make it so much worse. And it's like making a mountain out of an anthill, really. It is. And, you know, a lot of friendships have been lost. A lot of people have gotten out of position. Because, see, a person makes you step out of position, too. People have stepped out of position. People have left before their season for them to leave because of offense. And the enemy sitting somewhere laughing and cracking up and people around sad and, you know, so, amen.
And I think when we talk about, when you talked about people getting out of position, is that not the tactic of the enemy? He comes
yes,
to kill, steal, and destroy.
All day long.
And when you are out of position, now you've opened the door for the enemy to come in, but it's all, you know, and I think of it like this, and this is how God had given to me years ago. The scripture talks about how we are many members but one body. And whatever I am called to do, you can't do it. Just like what, and I'll talk about you, Prophetess Fry, because I know you don't mind. You are called to pray for the mothers, the children, and families. Not that I can't pray for them, but that's not what's on my heart 24/7, like the burden that God has given you for those group of people. So when it comes to me praying for leaders, and that's the burden he's put on me, if I am easily offended and somebody, a leader calls and say, I need you to pray for me, and I think you have offended me, if I don't get myself together, only that I lose souls, I've lost that person, and there are souls attached to that person. So it's not so simple as, you know what, I'm just not going to do this, and I'll just wait. Then your waiting is holding up someone else. Everyone has somebody attached to them. There are souls attached to everyone. And when you're not in your position and you're not in your right season and right time, because God is a God of time and season, you put everything out of balance.
Amen.
So we get to a point where we think somebody offend us, we need to say, hey, stop. Mm-mm. Let me make sure I hear you right. Did you just say? And then if like you don't like to confront, take it to God in prayer. God, how do I handle this? Because really the Bible tells us slow to speak and quick to hear. And I thought it was kind of like, shouldn't it be quick to talk? And he was like, no, you talk too much. When you listen, you'll be able to hear the whole story, process it. And as you're processing, I'm talking to you or you talking to me, and you will know how to handle that situation. So I bless God. I bless God. Anything else, Prophetess Fry?
I'm just really enjoying. I thank you for inviting me on. I'm enjoying the topic on today. Even I'm sitting here laughing at myself because even when I said I have never been one that liked confrontation, situations have to arise so that God can show you how to even deal with confrontation. Because we have to know how to confront naturally and spiritually. So, amen. Yeah. It's the right way and the wrong way to do anything. Amen.
And it took years. Anybody that's been with me on this journey, well, I got saved. It took years. And I know they're rejoicing right now for me to be quick in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because the flesh is quick to want to tit for tat. I mean, I was just quick on the mouth. But I've learned, and it was a process, it wasn't an overnight thing, to war quicker in the spirit than I do in the flesh. And I think of, we're talking about church hurt, Ezekiel 33 and 31, that says, so my people come to you as usual, sit before you and hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Although they express love with their mouths, their hearts pursue dishonest gain. When I think of the heart, I think of how we need to make sure daily that we ask God to create in us a clean heart, because it doesn't take much to get that heart acting silly. Because whatever is in the heart, it's going to come through your mouth. It's going to come in your action. I was listening to a service last night, and the preacher of the hour says she's never encountered so many angry people until she came into the church. And I said, well, you know what? That's kind of true. Because we always carry those burdens on our shoulder instead of giving those burdens to God. And hurt people do hurt other people. And if you don't address the hurt that you have, and I don't mean talking to everyone, because you can't tell everybody everything. You got some people who are in the church and their mouth is like a dripping faucet. It never stops. And we got to pray for their deliverance so that they will know how to bridle their tongue, because the Bible tells us. Bridle that tongue, that thing that can tame, that thing that can kill. Don't you know your tongue is a lethal weapon? Or bring joy, bring hope, bring peace. So we got to work on that heart thing. And then I want you to think about the hurt from another perspective. We've talked about members being hurt if they don't get the title that they want. We got to remember that all elevation comes from the Lord, and we do have many who are elected to different offices, whether it's elected to be the bishop, the pastor-elect, all of those things. If you elect yourself, just know you may be elected, but there is no power behind that, because if God is doing it, God has given you the grace, God has given you the power, he's given you the anointing to handle that office and to handle those things that you will come in contact with. But I want you to think of the flip side, which is the pastor. The pastor does get hurt, but even in their hurt, they got to make sure they don't slaughter the sheep You know, you can be so hurt by either something someone has promised to do. Most likely it's that promise. I promise I'm going to do this, and then they don't do it. And you've stacked all of your hope in that one person or group of people, and you become so hurt, and you got to weigh the part of I'm the pastor and I'm okay. And the more you carry that burden, and the more you carry the weight of the church, the more you are in that position to hurt other people. So it is imperative that if you are a pastor, you are a leader, that you seek someone that you can truly trust and let them pray for you. Because if you don't, heal that small cut. Because if you ever had a cut, I'm thinking of when I was a little girl, I had a cut, and I used to always enjoy to see the scab grow, and every time the scab come, I scratch it, and so that little cut became a bigger cut, and it became a bigger cut, because the more I scratched, the bigger it spread. Same thing with hurt. If you don't deal with that hurt, it's going to spread and spread and spread until it becomes touches. It will become infected as well. So if you are a leader, find someone that you can trust, that you can let them pray for you. They can pray you out. It doesn't diminish your office. It does not diminish who you are to say, I need help. I'm in trouble. I shared this when I was pastoring years ago. I had an incident that happened on Friday, and I wasn't over it on Saturday. And Saturday was my time where I would lay before the Lord and just ask him, what's going to happen on Sunday? How do I need to pray? What message do you have for the people? Show me the needs of the people. Prepare me so that I'm ready for them. And I couldn't do it because my mind wasn't right, because my heart wasn't right. And I said, God, you got to help me. God, you got to fix it. And it just didn't happen. And here it was Sunday morning, and the people were eager, and praise and worship was off the chain. Man, I mean, we were like it was just an awesome time. And then it was time for the word. And I said to myself, I can't lie. I got to be real. So I got up and I told them, I said, I don't have a word. I don't have a word from the Lord, because we do not have a communication, because my heart wasn't right, because I couldn't get it together to fix my heart. All he heard was me whining and complaining about what happened. And so I can't stand before you like a hypocrite. You don't know, but now you know that there is a problem, that I have an issue. And so therefore, I'm sitting me down this Sunday, and I know God has given someone a word for his people. And they looked at me and like, are you serious? I'm like, I am serious. I am not. And one thing, I don't play. I'm serious about me trying to get it into heaven. God, because I'm born again, I have that chance at eternal life. But in order to get there, I have to live a life that's pure, holy, acceptable before him. And right now, my heart is not right. And if my heart is not right, I'm not going to heaven if death comes. God has given me mercy today. So I don't have a word for you, but I know someone has a word for his people. And then when they realized I was serious, God raised, and I can't remember whether he was 10 or 11 years old, but he got up and he said, Pastor, I got a scripture. I said, we'll take it. And the scripture, come to repentance. Come with a pure heart. Come with humility. Come, laying all of your burdens, oh glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, all of your cares, all of your troubles, all your titles, all your names, lay it on the altar and be naked before me. Because he was going to chisel some things out of us. And he was going to start with me. And when it was all said and done, I was weeping before God, and the people were weeping before God. And forgiveness for my attitude, for a situation that could have been prevented had I gone before him before I did it. And because of that, it taught the church and it taught myself a couple of things. No one is exempt. Trouble going to find you. That's the nature. That's what it's supposed to be. Because James says, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations, because all it's doing is perfecting you, perfecting your character, perfecting your integrity, so that when people look at you, they don't see you, but they see God in you. When God looks down, he can see himself and be well pleased with you. So when you open your mouth, the things that are going to come out won't be worldly stuff, because there is a difference between the world and the church, because the church is supposed to be holy. The church is supposed to be righteous. And when the world come into the church, they should change. So when they go back out, they're going back out pure and leaving those old things. And the second thing they saw, that I'm serious about salvation. I'm serious about souls, because I could have stood up and pretend it was all right, and I knew it wasn't. Prophetess Fry, you have anything you want to say?
Oh, man, you just said it all. I was just thinking how awesome it must have been to be in the midst, and that when you couldn't bring the message, God used a young child out the midst, and then reminded me of that scripture, and a little child shall lead them. A little child that day led the entire house of God into repentance. That was just awesome. I was just thinking on that. Amen.
Amen. Well, I am grateful that you came. You must come back, and we need to talk about holiness. Amen.
Amen. This has been beautiful. This has been enlightening, and I thank you for the invite. And amen. I pray that as I was taking notes and, you know, getting some more understanding, I pray those that listen that they got it as well, because like you said, the enemy uses it as a tactic to destroy the body of Christ, you know. And we got to come up above that. We got to rise above that. Amen.
Amen. And until the next time, shalom.
Shalom.